The Gospel of Luke was written by Dr. Luke, a Gentile traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. Now, this is a thesis statement that I'm going to argue in more detail, but I believe that the Gospel of Luke was written by Luke, a physician, and a Gentile traveling with the Apostle Paul, who was one of the Apostle Paul's missionary brethren. It was written to a person called Theophilus, which is the Greek for lover of God. Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. You know, Philo and Theo is God. That's an easy one for y'all to get, huh? The lover of God as a way of encouraging certainty in the spoken word that was delivered by the eyewitnesses and ministers of Jesus. And we know this mainly from the prologue, not about Dr. Luke, but about who he was writing to. In the first four verses of the Gospel of Luke, he says this: "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seems good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you've been taught." So Luke's aim here is to tell the story of the things that the first eyewitnesses and ministers of what he calls ministers of the word were teaching. And it says that he's had some experience in listening to what they've been teaching and what they've been saying, and he wants to get it written down in an orderly way for the benefit of Theophilus. So what do we know about this author? Well, the author of the gospel is not actually directly named in the text. But we do know from the prologue of the book of Acts, which is a different book. After the Gospel of John, we'll study the gospel or the book of Acts. But that the same author of the book of Acts is the author of the Gospel of Luke. And this is the beginning of the book of Acts. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up. After he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So we see that it's the same recipient from Acts and the Gospel of Luke, Theophilus, and he alludes to the first book that he wrote, which can only be assumed to be the Gospel of Luke. So the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts form a two-part work with the aim of telling an orderly account of all the things related to the beginning of Jesus' ministry through the apostolic acts of the early church. And many people now study these two books together as a piece. The tradition of the early church was unanimous in ascribing authorship to the Gentile physician Luke. All of these early church fathers, Irenaeus, Tertullian, Clement of Alexandria, Origen, the Muratorian canon, all ascribed authorship of Luke Acts to Luke. Neither Eusebius, who is one of the church's first historians, nor any of the other ancient writers mention any other tradition of authorship. So the Luke was the one that everybody in the early church believed wrote the gospel and Luke. Now, of course, it is possible for a misunderstanding to be repeated over and over again and work its way through the entirety of a tradition. This has happened before, but that's pretty good evidence, at the very least, that all the people in the early church believed that Luke wrote it. It was pretty unanimous. And I actually put a great deal of stock in that. As the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul are recorded in the book of Acts, there's also a grammatical change of voice regarding the members of Paul's party, which goes from third person, where the narrator is using they did this and they did that, and then he shifts to the we voice, first person plural, in those verses that I reference here in Acts 16 and 20 and 21 and 27. And it's widely believed that these are the times when the author of Luke Acts joins the missionary party in person and participates in the events that he's describing. We went here and we preached this and we saw that. And so he tells some of the story from a third person, they did this, and then other, he was firsthand, we were there. And in the prologue of the gospel, he actually alludes to the same kind of thing. Many who have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us. You see that? He's writing from the perspective as one who has experienced these events and these things. And I actually think that when he's saying in that first sentence, the narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, this is actually a statement that there are people that are trying to compile the Acts of the Apostles. Because he then shifts gears and says, well, since they're doing that, I'm going to focus on recording what these guys, the apostles and those who ministered the word to us, are saying verbally. I'm going to get that written down. So Luke, while they were working on writing down the Acts, Luke wrote down the gospel narrative. And then I think he went back and picked up, maybe they just didn't do a good enough job, or they didn't finish the job, or he might have gathered some of the things that the stories that they had put together and put it together in an orderly way. So he may have had help in writing these things, but it certainly seems that he was very keen on making sure that both the Acts and the gospel story was written. And he says that in his prologue to both of the books. So if we take all of this to be the case, that he's one of the traveling companions of Paul on his missionary journeys, one could ask, why would Paul want a doctor on his missionary journeys? And would a doctor be useful to Paul? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Paul describes a thorn in the flesh, which he calls a messenger of Satan and something that he's asked God to remove many times, but he never has. And people puzzle over what the mysterious thorn in the flesh is. Some have said it's a moral issue that Paul was dealing with, or that it was his battle with a particular sin that he never got over. But many people believe that it was some type of physical ailment, that it was a disease, or it was something chronic, maybe something related to some of the persecutions that he had been through and a lingering injury. But nevertheless, Paul struggled and suffered with that. And it's quite possible that he needed and required the assistance of a physician like Luke on his missionary journeys in order to keep him going. Certainly the accompaniment of a physician would be helpful when you've been stoned and tortured, whipped and beaten and flogged, as he describes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Chased by wild animals, no doubt bitten by these wild animals, shipwrecked. I mean, Paul would have made these guys that do the extreme races, you know, envious. He was an adventurous guy and certainly beat the tar out of his body. And I would imagine that anybody that went with him on these missionary journeys got a little of the collateral damage from some of the experience. So again, having a physician on a missionary journey with Paul would have been a very, very important and helpful person on the team. And this might be why Paul describes him as the beloved physician. He's actually mentioned by name in Paul's letters in Philemon and Colossians and 2 Timothy. So who was Luke writing to? Luke specifically addressed his gospel to Theophilus, or God-lover, and while it's likely that this was a particular person, that he actually had a person in mind, maybe that was his name, or maybe it was a Christian name, or maybe it was something that, you know, just like Luke was called beloved physician, maybe there was sort of a Christian name for this person named Godlover. Luke may also, though, have in mind any individual who wants to be in a loving, personal relationship with God. And I think it, if anybody wants to be in love with God, this is a great letter, a great gospel to read. The motivation for the gospel was to encourage certainty in Theophilus' own journey in learning about Jesus and the teachings that he had received from the eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. So it was to strengthen that faith, give him a sense of security in that. And the entire narrative of Luke Acts records nothing of this. Is what I'm trying to get at here is, when was this gospel written? My sense is it was definitely written before 70 AD and the destruction of the temple, because the narrative of Luke Acts records nothing of the destruction of the temple, nor does it describe the martyrdom of any of the apostles other than Stephen. The events which would have definitely figured very prominently in any narrative about the Acts of the Apostles. You would have had the martyrdom of Peter in here. So this whole corpus of Luke Acts would have had to have been written and finished before that. I mean, if Stephen's martyrdom was important, then surely Peter's was, right? I think these were actually written quite early. Modern day critical scholars would, in fact, in the debate that I just had with Marcus Borg, he suggested that it was written in 90 AD, which I just can't see that that would be the case. I mean, not too many of these apostolic figures would have died these noble sacrificial deaths. And if the martyrdom of Stephen was such a powerful moment, certainly Peter being crucified upside down would have been. Any of these guys. And certainly the destruction of the temple as fulfillment of the gospel of Mark and Matthew and Luke. I mean, certainly that would have been something worth writing about and noting. Because that would have, again, buttressed all of those works. There would have been direct quotes of the Gospel of Mark and Matthew in his writings. Mark's Gospel said this, but you don't have any of that. So you have a sense that these things were all being written down at the same time as the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Matthew, for probably the same types of purposes. So I believe it was written prior to 70 AD. He certainly seems to be in harmony with the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Matthew. The structures are very similar in the way that the story is told. Again, I argued for the Gospel of Mark that narrative framework actually follows the way that the sermon of the Apostle Peter that's recorded in Acts. So what likely was the case is that as these missionaries would go around to the different regions, they had a narrative framework in the way that they told the story. And it probably had variations depending on who told it, but basically they followed the same general pattern. Some might have included the birth narratives, but others included definitely John the Baptist, and then worked their way through the ministry in Galilee. Luke is going to greatly expand on the way to Jerusalem. And so this traveling narrative section that was in the Gospel of Mark and in the Gospel of Matthew, Luke is really going to focus on that. All the parables and everything. So these things were told over and over again in the hearing of people like Luke. And these stories, he may not have necessarily had Mark and Matthew's gospel right in front of him. The oral tradition alone and the uniformity of that oral tradition could have very much been enough. But a lot of the modern scholarship says, well, Mark was first, and Matthew and Luke used the Gospel of Mark to write theirs together. So sometime before 70 AD, maybe sometime after the Gospel of Mark, if you accept that Luke used Mark. His purpose in writing is to get across the great message of salvation in Jesus Christ. As one commentator put it, for Luke, the God of Israel is the great benefactor, whose redemptive purpose is manifest in the career of Jesus, his salvation, whose message is that God's benefaction enables and inspires new ways of living in the world. And Luke's gospel, in a very tangible way, really does get very worldly. And there, for Luke, there is no disconnection between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth. These two things are intricately intertwined. And the divisions that we sometimes think of secular and sacred, Luke doesn't think that way. Secular, sacred, earthly, spiritual, they're all interconnected and intertwined. And we're going to get that as we go through the Gospel of Luke.